Welcome to the Charisma News Podcast. I'm Taylor Berglund, and today we have a very special interview on the show. I'm sure that many of you have seen the news coverage, no matter where you get your news, of the riots and protests for racial justice happening in almost every major urban city in this country. And today we are going to talk to Pastor Miles McPherson, who is the pastor of Rock Church in San Diego, about his perspective on these various protests going on and how we can, I guess, represent our Christian witness well during the midst of this unrest in society. Pastor McPherson has a really interesting perspective, as he is a black man himself. He's a pastor, and he also has both his son and his father was a police officer. As such, he's very close to many different sides and angles on this, and having done the interview with him, I think that you guys are really going to enjoy this episode of the show. So we're going to go to a quick message from our sponsor, and then when we come back, my interview with Pastor Miles McPherson.
Did you know that you can explore Liberty University's 7,000-acre campus from home with a virtual 360-degree tour? Discover their world-class academic, athletic, and dining facilities from a distance and get all of your questions answered through a one-on-one video session with an admissions team member. Don't put your dreams on hold. Text CHARISMA to the number 49596. Again, text CHARISMA to the number 49596.
Welcome back to the Charisma News Podcast. I'm Taylor Berglund, and today I'm so excited to welcome over the phone lines Pastor Miles McPherson. Miles, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good today. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm excited to talk to you. Obviously, the news is very sobering right now, and there's a lot of seriousness to the issues going on in our country, but I'm thankful to be able to have you here to share your wisdom on the topic. For listeners who may not be familiar with you, you're the pastor of Rock Church in San Diego. And I also know just from, you know, reading your background, you are, in addition to being a pastor, you're a black man. You're someone whose father and son have both worked in law enforcement. So how are you responding and reacting to the state of our country right now?
You know, I've grown up with racism, and I've grown up with police officers, and I've grown up with, you know, with God in my life at some degree. And the reason I wrote the book, The Third Option, is because there's always been division, us versus them culture. And as what it was when I was a kid in the 60s and today, you feel forced to pick one side against the other, whether it's for or against the police, or for or against Black Lives, or for or against immigrants. And there's so many for or against, you know, Republican, Democrat. And there's so many forms of division where you feel forced to be on one side against the other. The third option, which is the title of my book, is that we honor what we have in common, because there we have more similarities than differences. All of us want to love our sleep, love our food. We want to love our family. We want to have purpose in life. All of us are on a journey. And we all are made in the image of God. So this book is designed to equip us with the tools to honor what we have in common, even amidst what's going on, especially what's going on, that we can, if we focused on the things that we had in common, we would get along better. If you notice, the people who are protesting are all different nationalities and ages, because there's something that they all have in common, which is a desire for justice. And so if all of us can focus on those things instead of looking at each other and saying, just because you look different, we have to be on opposing sides, we would get along better.
I think that's well spoken. In the third option, you discuss that there are basically three kinds of racism. Can you explain that for listeners?
Yeah, there's institutional racism, which are institutions and guidelines like redlining, where banks would say, I'm not going to go to this neighborhood. Or in the criminal justice system, where blacks get a higher sentence for the same crime of a white person. And so there's institutions that and guidelines that are biased against people of color. Then there's personally mediated racism, where it's, I just don't like you as an individual because you're white, black, or whatever. And then there's internalized racism, where when you are beat down for all your life and told you are less than, you can actually believe it over time. You actually resign to it. I know that when I saw George Floyd killed, what was triggering me after 60 years was I had lived with this cloud of powerlessness to white culture. And that didn't hit me until I saw George killed. I don't know if I processed it that way. So the last 2 weeks has been, you know, something I've realized that I've been carrying. So racism is not just, you know, some people walking down the street with a white sheet over their head. It's a lot more systemic than that. I mean, I saw today on the street, two kids walking down the street and they were pulled over by police and handcuffed because they were walking down the street and they claimed they were jaywalking, but they were just walking down the street. So, you know, there's different layers of it. And the only way we're going to get by it is, well, I shouldn't say the only way, the most redeeming way is that our hearts are changed. And because the systems and the guidelines that, and the institutional racism that results, it results because of people's hearts. I believe that if we bow down knee to Jesus and surrender our life to him and realize that every person's made in the image of God, and the image of God in one person is exactly the same as in the next person, because God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, over there in you and over here in me. And so we can acknowledge that and focus on that. We could eradicate racism.
I love that you brought up the spiritual factor there, because there's always to the things that we see in the news. We know as Christians that there's a spiritual dimension to it, that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Can you speak exactly. to, as a pastor, what are you seeing as the spiritual dimension of this issue right now?
Yeah, the division, you know, us versus mm-hmm. them is two. There's one of two sides, and unity is about one. And one of the ways the devil creates division is with confusion. And so I've had discussions all my life about racism, and it's so frustrating, and has been all my life, even before I gave my life to Christ, to hear people defend something with bad information. And so when we look at people and we say, oh, those people are this or those people are that, we have bad information most of the time. And the reason I wrote the book is to help people first understand themselves, understand their own blind spots, understand that you can be racially offensive and not necessarily be a racist. There are a lot of people who say, I'm not a racist, but when they're told they're offensive, they can't accept it because they believe that they're offensive, they must be a racist. But they may be well-intended, but they just don't understand that they still can offend people. When you tell somebody you don't see color, the intent is to build a bridge, and there may be also an intent to just not want to deal with the issue. But the problem is that you're offending the person of color because you're telling them that how God made you and the burden that comes with how God made you because of our culture, I don't want to talk about it. And so there, how can you love me if you can't help me carry my burden? The Bible says in Galatians 6:2 that bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Well, if you're going to ignore that I even have a burden, you can't love me. And so I think the devil is blinding us and trying to get us to defend ourselves and our position instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to create a vulnerability and humility in us to be able to be wrong and learn and grow and walk with somebody on their journey.
I think that's really well said. I've definitely heard from a lot of my Black brothers and sisters in Christ the importance of listening, the importance of humility right now. I'm sure that many people at your church have been asking you what to do, how they should respond to this. In addition to that humility, to listening, what practical advice would you give to believers for how they can be the hands and feet of Christ with actions during this season of unrest?
Well, you have different kinds of believers. You have white believers who feel like, you know, I'm good. And then you have white believers who say, I'm scared. White believers who say, I want to learn. And then you have black believers who are mad, frustrated, tired of educating white people. You know, we've been telling people for all our life, and we just get a deaf ear. So I think if everybody bows their knee to Christ and says, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm going to deny myself right now, pick up my cross, and follow. If I could summarize it, it would be listen, learn, and love. Listen, learn, and love. And if we learn to listen, Learn to listen to people. And again, if you're white listening to this, there's a chance, like, I don't know all of you, but there's a chance that all your life you've heard about racism and you have been somewhat disconnected from it because you can. Black people, brown people can't, we deal with it every day. And so it's going to be a new thing to you. And I would encourage you to allow yourself to be uncomfortable and be in situations where you are going to learn. You're not the one who knows everything. You're going to be the one who's going to learn everything or learn. And it may be an odd thing for you, because especially learning about racism, because those are conversations that you might have avoided. And so then people of color got to say, okay, let's take advantage of this listening ear and be patient, because if there's one thing us in the black community have talk about all the time is that people don't want to listen, you know, and we always got to teach, bro, and say the same thing over and over again and give more evidence, and then that evidence is not believed. It's always, you know, rationalized away. Well, George Floyd can't be rationalized away. So now people are realizing, wow, maybe I have been ignoring this. And as believers, listen, Jesus said that if I'm hungry, give me food. Thirsty, give me something to drink. If I'm downtrodden and I can't speak for myself and I'm being beat down, help me speak for them. And I think this is a great time to show the humility of Christ and say, my brother, my sister, tell me how I can help bear your burden, like Galatians tells me. I want to know what you've been experiencing. And then believe people. Believe people. People aren't making it up. Now I think the world knows we're not making it up.
Absolutely. One last question. How can we pray for you and for your church, for your San Diego community right now?
Well, you can pray for wisdom for me, but I think all of us just love, you know, we have a countywide prayer meeting that we're convening a week from Saturday, June 20th, wepraysandiego.com. And we're inviting the whole county to pray in seven different locations on the street. And it's not the church, just everybody. And we're going to line up along the street and cry to God for an hour. And so you can pray for God's mercy on our city, on our county, on our country, that the peace of God will guide and direct us and strengthen us. Because everybody's in a different place. And everybody, you know, some people are hearing what I'm saying now going in. Amen. And some people are hearing what I'm saying now and saying, you know, he's a racist, right? Everybody's in a different place. I hope not, but, you know, just from my experience. I just pray that people would just go to the cross and be the Christian the Bible tells us to be. Now, listen, one of the things we all share in common is that all of us are on a journey. I'm on a journey. You're on a journey. I learned, you know, when I saw George Floyd killed, that I've been carrying this weight of powerlessness to the white culture. I didn't even, never process it that way. So now I have to, you know, figure out what does that mean? You know, and what do I have to learn about myself in light of that? And that's a good thing. I mean, it was a good thing that I now know that, but God's going to, with the devil meant for evil, God's going to turn into something good in my life. And so if we all take a position of I'm humble, I want to learn, I want to grow, I want to be more like Jesus, and I don't necessarily have to be right. It's the difference between being right and doing right. This is about us doing right. This is not about winning an argument. It's about doing right. And as believers, our journey with Jesus is lifelong. So don't think it's a quick fix. We'll get through it. I already know I got two black friends or two Hispanic friends or whatever, and I'm good. It's a lifelong journey.
Amen. Well, Pastor Miles, thank you so much for coming on. I know that I'm blessed by your words today, and I hope many of our listeners are as well. If people want to check out you or the book, The Third Option, where can they do so?
You can go to @MilesMcPherson on all my social media, and then MilesMcPherson.com. Obviously, you get the book on Amazon. MilesMcPherson.com, you can get all sermons and books and resources, and then @MilesMcPherson is my social media. I'm posting stuff all the time.
Fantastic. And I definitely recommend people go check that out. There is so much more that you can learn from him that we were not able to get to in this short interview today. But thank you so much for sharing what you could today, for taking a little time to talk to us. I really do appreciate it.
God bless you.
All right. You have a great day.